that family unit coming together gradually through speaking out and talking to each other in a family where we drop into pitfalls, where we forget about that communication part, which is so important. So communicate. And that means communicate with, as you retire, people are retiring, communicate with your kids. Just because you retired from your job doesn't mean you retired as a parent.
Well, that was longtime TV meteorologist Dave Dahl talking about the importance of open communication with your children and grandchildren. Hey, everybody. Jared Sebesta here, co-host of Retire Repurposed. On behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, we are so glad that you are joining us here today. Well, I want to get right to the show because we have some very special guests. Legendary TV meteorologist Dave Dahl and his son Andy have joined forces to create a YouTube show called Honest About Life. They believe the key to deep, meaningful relationships are conversations that far too many times don't happen between retirees and their children and grandchildren. In this podcast, Dave and Andy will share examples of how their honest conversations have led to a greater understanding and deeper perspective of their life and their legacy. Enjoy this episode. All right, so excited. We've got Dave and Andy Dahl on the line here today. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the podcast today.
It's great to be here, guys.
Thanks for having us here.
Well, Dave, I want to start with you from one former TV weatherman to another former TV weatherman. I've got my own story to tell, but I want to hear your story. You were on the air for 43 years, which is incredible. You're at the and on the same station during that tenure. I want to get right to it. What did it feel like after signing off that last time? And then the Monday rolls around and that 5 o'clock show hits and you weren't on it and didn't need to be there. What'd that feel like?
It was very strange, actually. It was just, it was like unreal, surrealistic. You, for one thing, it was during COVID when I signed off. And that made it very strange in itself because there was a camera person, myself, I had my girlfriend there, and a director in the director's booth, and that was it. Mm. The station was empty other than that. And it was just so weird after 43 and a half years to say goodbye my last time, and it seemed like nobody cared. But it just was one of those things where, you know, I just walked out the door, and it was very surrealistic to be there the next day. I took my little box of stuff out the door that last night, and I didn't return for a while because it was just kind of hard to go back. I felt very blessed that I was able to stay at one place for that long. Just doesn't happen very much. And
yeah.
So I felt good about that.
Did you go through, because I did a little bit, and again, I don't want to get into my story, but I went through a little bit of an identity crisis after that. Like, because again, your identity, this is what your jobs do, especially when your tenure is decades long. I mean, you're known as Dave Dahl, the weather guy. I mean, that was your identity, so to speak. What did it, did you struggle with that thereafter, or maybe to some extent finding new? Walk us through that for a moment.
Yeah, that was interesting because this has been about 3 years since I retired, and I'm still getting people coming up to me and say, I watch you every morning. Well, I hadn't been on mornings for 20 years. Right. So I don't know what they're talking about, but I just say thank you and move on. But it is kind of different to be, you know, at that one place for so many years in a row, and then all of a sudden to cut it off. But I still, as I said, have people come up to me and say that, you know, I'm blessed that they were watching, you know, along the way. And it made me feel good about, you know, being blessed to be in that one spot for 43 and a half years.
Yeah.
And people remember me, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to get more into kind of that identity piece as we go throughout our conversation here today. But Andy, you know, you're about my age, just a little bit older. You know, your dad's I'm not trying to over dramatize this, but like, you know, he's like a living TV legend in the Twin Cities market. I mean, your dad's a rock star in many ways. What was it like growing up with a legendary dad? I mean, that had to have been cool, bothersome. What was that like?
You know, it did come with its fair set of challenges, no doubt. You know, being the son of a well-known celebrity was a unique experience. And, you know, during my early school years, you know, again, Dad was really young when he had myself and my sister. So, you know, they were very much kids, you know, raising us. So what that meant then was that you had, you know, my entire growing up, right? My entire K through 12, kindergarten through senior years of high school in the Twin Cities where Dad was on TV, to have him as that celebrity. So, you know, it meant that you know, school administration, teachers, coaches, classmates, you know, everybody was looking at you a little bit differently, right? So it had, it came with its own unique set of challenges and expectations. There was the downside because you felt like you wanted to act out, to you wanted some anonymity, you're right, you wanted to be your own person. And so you found yourself acting out a little bit. But then there are some benefits to it as well. And I feel like Dad and I talk about this once in a while. You know, Dad was a celebrity in Minneapolis, the Twin Cities and Western Wisconsin. So there's a fairly good audience there, just like you, Jared, the same audience, right? But there are children of celebrities that are known across the country, across the globe. And I can't even imagine the challenges that they faced and the opportunities that they had to deal with and the pressures that they had to deal with. So just so you know, I'm putting this into perspective, but I appreciate the question because it was weird. It was weird. Not many have the opportunity to go through that type of growing up.
Andy handled it very, very well. He was a very good student. And my daughter, Allie, was a very good student. And they handled that dealing with, you know, in a way you can say they were bullied. You know, not in a horrible way, but they were treated differently. And I think they handled it. They both handled it very well.
I think that that you bring into effect of like how our careers of retirees, you know, how that was maybe difficult and brought some unique challenges to their children. I want to transition now into what you're doing. And, you know, we connected on LinkedIn, Andy, me and you a while back, and you know, you turned me on to this cool thing that you and your dad are doing, and it has really turned into kind of, I don't know if you'll call it like a YouTube channel or a platform or just a way to, you know, express, you know, what you guys are talking about. But you have a show essentially called Honest About Life. What would you describe? Is this a platform or what exactly is this? And what was the whole point of starting these conversations?
Jared, I think what we really wanted to do is something that we hope other people will do as a result of what we're doing. And that's connecting with their parent and finding out about everything in their life so that when their parent is passed, they can go back and look at some of these memories that they had and it'll be recorded for life. Mm-hmm. And that's, and we can be very honest about it. You know, we've got our opinions. And we totally say that in our show. These are opinions that Andy and I have. We're not saying it's the right thing. We're not saying it's anything special. It's just what we had. And we want other parents to connect with their kids in that same way. And I hope that it's very easy. I mean, we do a Zoom once a week, a couple times a week, and we get to talk about those things that we probably didn't talk about enough, you know, in our growing up. And as Andy had said earlier, Andy, I grew up with Andy because I wasn't that much older. And it just was a wonderful thing to have that connection with Andy and Allie, my daughter. But we then now get to expand on that and expand on it so that we can learn about things that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about. And it's so valuable. It's such a wonderful thing to talk about stuff that, dang, I wish we would have talked about that, you know, many years ago. But now we get to do it and we get to save it and record it.
Where did it start? I mean, it wasn't like this just came up out of the blue. There was a desire to have those conversations, to speak real. You know, talk about the genesis of this, of like, you know, where it goes from, hey, we should talk more and have open discussions to actually recording them and putting them on the internet. Describe that.
I'm going to let Andy answer to that because that's where it really comes together, I think.
The genesis, it may have gone all the way back to, hey, what is your dad doing? Right. You know, now that he's retired, what is he up to? And in fielding that question, it sparked an idea in our head. And I believe that, Dad, you and I were exchanging texts one day a year ago, And we said, hey, you know, there's a lot of, if you will, boxes we can check if we do this, if we have this conversation, if we videotape it, if we call it honest about life, that will force us, if you will, in a good way, to be honest, not only with each other, but to ourselves, with ourselves about, you know, the things that we have gone through in our life, not just currently and not potentially in the future, but in the past. And let's talk about some of those things. Let's deal with some of those issues. And then what we have learned in doing this is that it opened up a dialogue that enabled me to ask questions of my father that I may not have had otherwise, right? As a venue, we call it honest about life. So we're constantly reminded about the importance of being honest. And it's a family friendly program, right? There's no swearing going on. There's no, that sort of thing. We're not talking about X-rated anything. We're talking about the reality of our lives. And again, the idea is to remind everybody how important it is to connect with your loved ones, and doing it in this way allowed us to be, oddly enough, in this public venue, enable us to be extremely honest with each other about some of the things that the decisions we've made in the past, you know, some of the challenges we've overcome, some of the opportunities we passed on, et cetera. So it really was about, what is your dad doing that started this whole concept of honest about life?
Yeah, I'm sensing the word authenticity. You know, like that's something, a journey that I'm on personally, where just I want to be, the older I get, I want to be more authentic. And the way that I get more authentic is I'm just more real and I'm more truthful. I'm guessing in the short amount of time that you've done these conversations and recorded them, you've probably have discovered some things about each other. Has there been something that has stuck out where you went into a conversation talking about X, Y, and Z, and there was some light bulbs and some things that you've learned about each other, even though you've known each other for, you know, approaching 50 years? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Can I answer that, Andy? I think.
I could think of a couple as well. Go ahead, Dad.
Yeah, I'm going to just start off with one that, you know, closure is one of those words that gets overused. But I think that we have some closure with some of the things that as Andy was growing up, and as I was becoming a parent and trying to be a good parent, I think I learned a ton from what Andy was saying to me now and what it meant to him as a younger boy. And I love that honesty that, you know, that can come out, and we're not trying to feed anything down anybody's throat. We're just telling you our life and the way we enjoyed life. Andy?
Yeah, that is a good point, Dad, that, again, I know we keep coming back to this, but you were young. We have one story in particular, Jared, to your question about what revelations have come of these conversations. And one thing that I believe is really important in understanding your parents is understanding their own upbringing, their own childhood, their own, what developed them into young adults and adults. And to hear Dad's story about his younger brother who had, who was born with a disability, a significant disability, and Dad being number four of the five children, and then having a fifth one born behind him, meant that he no longer would get that attention that the youngest member of the family would typically receive, because his younger brother required all that attention. So Dad, why don't you share with me, our audience here, Jared's audience, what you told me about your brother, Danny?
Yeah, I'm gonna. This was very. This is a very developing stage in my life. You know, he was about 5 years younger than I was, and I had to give up the attention that I got, and I resented that, and I hate to even admit that, but I resented that, and I remember that I would do some things to my brother who never, because of his brain development, never got past 6 months of brain capacity. So even though he grew like a normal young man, he had the brain capacity of a 6 month old. And, you know, he'd smile when we came into the room, but I just resented everybody. You know, what's Andy doing, or what's Danny doing? Is Danny all right? You know, everything was about Daniel. And so I was kind of taking the back seat my other brothers and sisters were a little older and they could handle, you know, that, and they didn't need the attention that I felt that I needed. So I really feel bad about the fact that I resented that attention that I didn't get.
Well, how'd that land for you, Andy, hearing that from your dad?
It reminds you about the importance of development, you know, and the importance of family at such a young age, and how that affects you essentially the rest of your life, right? That it's such an important, as Dad mentioned, such an important part of your upbringing to receive just the right amount of support, just the right amount of attention, just the right amount of nurturing, and then how it affects your life. So I think what it in an odd way, maybe it helped Dad be the person that he became in that 43 years of doing the weather, of driving to be the chief meteorologist, to be the best in his field. And I think because maybe you have always been looking for that attention that you didn't receive as a young child, and you needed that, and it drove you, which is a good thing, right? It drove you to be the best in your field. Yeah. And so there's a lot of messaging going on there that I think we could we could talk about, but I hope you follow what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to jump in, you know, because Andy, I think you hit it right on the head that it is something that probably drove me that I didn't even know was in the back of my mind. But I love my brother. As I got older and realized how insignificant that feeling that I had was, it made me feel I loved him to death. I mean, he was my younger brother. And I felt so badly that I resented him in the beginning, you know, when I was younger. But as I got older, I realized the importance that he was playing in my life.
It's interesting because I'm hearing a number of things from both of you, but one thing that stands out, and we will all attest to this, you know, the person that we were, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago is vastly different than who we are today. In fact, I mean, you could go back a year ago. I mean, the truth is that we're just different people. And so you have different people at different levels of maturity trying to figure out life at different levels. Andy, I think what you're seeing is that there's probably some healing going on because you're hearing stories and it's giving you perspective, but it's giving it to you at someone who is more mature and can see that. And so I can almost hear you have more grace and more compassion for your dad because of the stories that he's sharing. Am I onto something here?
I believe you are, Jared. I think it's really important what you just said in terms of understanding the perspective allows you to, to be compassionate in a way that, look, if we don't have these conversations, you're not going to understand. I'm not going to understand where your parents are coming from and why I should care, why I should have compassion for you if I don't understand what you have been through, right? So it definitely elevates the level of our relationship because of what you just said, Jared, that clear understanding of what brought you to today can allow me to accept that and let some of the things that may not have been great just go away. That doesn't matter anymore because now I clearly understand.
Yeah. Yeah. David, I mean, David, it's got to feel so good to be able to, A, get some of that off your chest, but also hear your son say, wow, I understand now. You know, I think that there's probably so many broken relationships between, you know, parents and adult children, even grandchildren, because we don't see. We were kids when you guys were kids. I mean, you know, like you said, Dave, it was like I was maturing and I had children. And you know, unless you share these stories, we never know what it was like. If you don't ask, I mean, your older parents, they're not going to probably just willingly share some of the hard falls of their upbringing. So, I mean, this has got to feel, I don't know, healing or therapeutic in a way to hear your son's response on this.
Totally, Jared. It's just totally therapeutic. I think it's the value of what we're getting out of this. And we're speaking to a lot of people, a lot of retirees that probably are feeling the same way that we felt. And, you know, that they grew up with their kids and they were growing as their kids were growing older. And those connections that we sometimes take for granted, we really have to speak out on them. We really have to tell each other. And that family is number one importance to me. And I think that family unit coming together gradually through speaking out and talking to each other, that communication, that word is gigantic in a family, because there's so many places in a family where we drop into pitfalls where we forget about that communication part, which is so important. So communicate. And that means communicate with, as you retire and people are retiring, communicate with your kids. Just because you retired from your job doesn't mean you retired as a parent. So, you know, continue to grow.
I love it. That's a phenomenal point. We've got a couple of minutes left here. Andy, like, where do you see this going? Kind of what's your vision for just having this open-ended conversation with your dad? What's the point, so to speak, and where is it headed?
Well, so we've reached a point, Jared, where we've filmed so many of these little 5-10 minute videos that I feel like we have covered so many topics, maybe most of them, not quite all, but most. So where could this go? You know, at the least, we would love to see it grow in terms of, you know, folks being aware that this matters. So I would love to see this concept grow among family, among parents and children. And so if nothing else comes out of it other than just to create awareness of the importance of these conversations, then that's great. But, you know, we've been talking about maybe there really are, audiences out there that would enjoy hearing about the difference it has made in our lives. And so Dad and I have really started to talk about maybe we bring this to larger audiences and maybe in person. So because I think there really is something here, especially in light of politics and all this other divisive sort of things that are going on in the world today. Let's get back to what matters. Let's get back to family. Let's get back to open communication and sort of deal with our differences. So, yeah, I'd love to see this grow.
What's the, for you, Dave, like, again, you want to inspire, create awareness, but like ultimately, like at the heart of you now being a retired weatherman, like this has got to give you some like enthusiasm, some passion, some fervor, you know, like describe like in a grand slam situation, what's happening with this platform?
I'm totally excited. As you said, Jared, I'm totally excited about Andy and I and spreading this, because I do think it's a revelation. So it has been a revelation for me. And I think Andy has a very good presence on stage, and the two of us do work together pretty well. He was talking about the state fair. We had some great conversations on stage, he and I, in front of large crowds. And it's kind of invigorating to know that, especially with this particular topic, we're getting across a point that I think is very valuable. And we can both show that enthusiasm on stage. And I think that would be fun. So hopefully this could grow into Andy and I doing stuff around the globe or around at least the country about honesty, about honest about life, something that a lot of people don't really think about.
Well, I love it. I commend you guys for doing it. I think a lot of people would love to do something like this, and you've stepped out in courage and faith and done it. And it takes courage. That's exactly what it is. Having these conversations, that's what people need to hear too. This takes courage. It takes courage to be open and honest and to share some of these things that you gentlemen have shared with us tonight. So I appreciate the work that you're doing. Before I let you go, where can guys hear more about Honest About Life?
You can actually visit our website, honestaboutlife.com.
Yeah, that's the best place.
Thank you for asking, Jared. And you know, we'd be remiss in not saying you are doing remarkably amazing things as well along the same lines. So we'd love to learn more about what you're doing as well.
Jared, you are a very talented speaker. And I love your voice. Your voice is awesome. So I think you can demand respect just from your presence and what you're saying. And that's awesome.
I appreciate that very much. This has been awesome. So few people are doing it. Like, people are talking about doing what you guys are doing, but you know, you and a handful of other people are doing it. So the more you do it, the more your light shines, the more you affect people, the more authentic you are, the more truth comes out. I mean, everybody wins when you step out and just do what you guys are doing and what we're trying to do together. So Perfect. It's awesome.
Let's grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you later.
Thanks
Thank
again.
You.
It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey everybody, Jared Sebesta here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.